survive, thrive, stay alive. It's time to get prepared with the Prepping Academy podcast.
Hey, welcome to the Prepping Academy. I am Forrest. There'll be no Tenderfoot this evening. Tenderfoot is working hard. Can't make it this evening. We got a special guest tonight. JJS is what I call him. John Jacob Schmidt from Amron will be joining us in just a bit. Hey, we got so many updates that we're going to have a special show just on the updates, what's been going on. No, we've been off the air for a little bit, but when I explain to you some of the things we've been doing, I think you'll understand. So in 2019, we have a whole lineup of shows planned, special guests, even some going to offer you guys some free webinars that we're going to be pushing out. For everyone to take part in, we appreciate you signing up, giving us a thumbs up. So this evening, like I said, John Jacob Schmidt will be on. Hey, I do want to ask you to, we got a new ad that's going to be playing. We want you to jump on over to preppingacademy.com. That's the website. Sign up for our mailing list. You will get important updates about special guests, webinars, podcasts that we'll be producing. We're going to produce a schedule of future podcasts. Yeah, Tenderfoot, oh man, he's just not here this evening. I wished he was, but it's going to be an interview, and we did release preppernet.com. That's preppernet.com. One word, preppernet.com. It is a website that we're going to unite preppers in America. We need your help by going. There's a free membership. There's also a premium membership. We ask you to join the premium membership, which will further enhance our abilities to take this nationwide. The response at this point has been overwhelming. The partnerships that we have aligned yourself with is just amazing. We have the absolutely top people in this industry on our expert panel, and I'm going to read them off to you guys right now. These are the biggest of the big when it comes to the industry. I think so, in my opinion. We have John Jacob Schmidt from Amron, Scott Hunt from Practical Preppers, Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy, Charlie Hogwood from Ready Prep, Samuel Copler from Forward Observer, Glenn Tate, 299 Days, Shelby Gallagher, she is a new author, and Glenn Tate's wife, Survivor Jane, Rick Austin, author Frank Hort, Ryan Mitchell from The Tiny Life, Brian Duff. I mean, we've got the biggest of the big names right there. They're on my expert panel to take PrepperNet nationwide. It has been growing gangbusters. We ask you to go over there and join. There is a free basic. We ask you for your email, your name, and your zip code. We don't ask you for your address or phone number. If you want to become a premium member, we do ask you to just sign up. That supports us for a year. The main goal for PrepperNet is to provide resources for local groups to meet. So we create the meeting, we create the meetup, we find the leaders, we help the leaders, and then in your area you can be meeting and networking with other preppers, and that's the main focus of PrepperNet.
Looking to meet other like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own prepper group? Already have a group? PrepperNet has gathered the biggest names in the industry to help unite preppers everywhere. Join John Jacob Schmidt, Scott Hunt, Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy, Glenn Tate, Shelby Gallagher, Charlie Hogwood, Samuel Culper, Survivor Jane, Rick Austin, Franklin Horton, Ryan Mitchell, and Brian Duff. Our team is united. Check us out at PrepperNet.com. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. PrepperNet.com.
Hey guys, welcome. We got Forrest here on the Prepping Academy. Tonight's special guest is John Jacob Schmidt from Amron. You've heard me talk about him in the past, and I'm so excited to have him on my show. First time, we've spent a lot of time on the phone and personal meetings here recently, and I'm so excited to bring you John Jacob Schmidt from Amron. John, you there?
Yes, sir. Hey, great to have you, great to be with you. Thank you so much for having me, and I hope you're blessed as well. I know that I am, and this is a privilege, so thank you so much.
This is definitely a privilege to have you on, and, when I first started my show years ago, this mediocre show that I do, you were always one of the names that I wanted on, just to be honest, because I knew what Amron was. It was intimidating because at that time, ham radio was so foreign to me, and it was a future goal, and that now you're on. That's unbelievable. So,
thank you.
Tell us about Amron and how Amron got started, and and how long ago was that?
Well, Amron was kind of a it was really an unintended venture. I have a weekly podcast, Radio Free Redoubt, and touches on issues of the day that affect us as Christian patriots, and talk about preparedness. Not a whole lot of emphasis on prepping per se, but definitely a strong message that we need to be self-reliant, and we need to be prepared to weather any type of hardship so that we can be effective in the rebuilding process. And so I started that podcast in 2011, in the spring of 2011, or early summer. And within just a few months, I realized that we have no standardized plan for like-minded patriots to link up with one another, to authenticate one another, if there is a grid-down communications disruption, power or conventional communications. And so this comes from my background was in the Army. I'm a Desert Storm veteran. I served 9 years, including reserve time, as well as active duty.
Awesome.
And I was a radio operator, a communications specialist with the Army Special Forces, 3rd Group, and then 5th Group before that. So that was something that I just had thought that I had left behind in my life, in my past, and it was just something I used to do. But understanding the need for communications and realizing that there's really no standardized plan in place for patriots to link up with one another and to coordinate for mutual assistance and even command and control for our, conservative, patriot-minded leadership in our communities and even some of our elected officials. So it started off as the CH3 project, or Channel 3, for your unlicensed radios such as FRS, the Family Radio Service, or MERS, the Multi-Use
Right.
Radio Service, and then CB Radio, which there was a preparedness organization made up of several families, and that's actually how the CH3 project started. We just mutually agreed that if there was a major catastrophic event, we would all go to Channel 3 on whichever device that we happened to have, and most of us had more than one. Most of us had either a MERS and a CB, or and the next guy has a CB and FRS, and and so on. So we figured this is the best way for us to increase the chances of being able to link up with each other so that we could travel together, so that we could operate, coordinate together, and so on. And so through Radio Free Redoubt, I started the CH3 project, which is kind of an emergency preparedness communications plan, very informal, but it gained popularity, and then we expanded that into your licensed radio operators and amateur radio. So okay. what was intended to be a communications network for the American Redoubt, which is the Inland Pacific Northwest states of Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and then Eastern Idaho or Eastern Washington and Eastern Oregon. That's what makes up the American Redoubt, very politically, very conservative area. And so that was the intent, to keep the American Redoubt connected. And as I've mentioned before, we began getting contacted by amateur radio operators that are patriots, Christian patriots, and from Texas and from Colorado and Tennessee and elsewhere, saying, we like what you've got, and can we join even though we don't live in the American Redoubt? And we said, well, of course. And then it just grew from there. So we went quickly from 100 radio operators to about 300 or 400 operators, and then to 1,200 operators. And now we have over 6,000 people now signed up with Amron.
Wow.
And probably about over 500 of those are Amron Core, which are your more serious radio operators, much more invested, more experienced, or they're willing to invest and become experienced and trained. And so now we have operators outside the United States. We have folks involved in Amron in Canada, Puerto Rico,
South America,
England,
right?
South Africa now.
Oh, South Africa, that's right, I meant. Yep.
Yeah, and we're working with the folks in with the Sightlanders, which is that's the largest non-government civil defense organization in the world. And so, of course, we're learning from them as well. But they claim they've learned a lot from the Americans, are very resourceful and light years ahead of most others in the prepper community around the world. So it's been a really mutually beneficial arrangement and relationship with those guys.
So you started this on a just kind of like a family and friends plan, using simple basic radios to actually becoming a nationwide, almost worldwide at this point, communication plan.
We've been contacted by
awesome.
It's just a huge blessing, and now it's grown exponentially. It's very encouraging. We've been involved in real world disasters, from fires, wildfires, to hurricanes, to floods, and so on. Matter of fact, the eastern region of Amron was activated because of the snowstorm warnings, and a lot of folks were grid down, and so they activated the Amron net as a way of sharing information and calling, you know, arranging for assistance and help for those who may need it. And so, yeah, it's evolved from just the end of the world as we know it, grid down type of communications network, to actually a emergency and civil defense communications network. And where we've actually been able to train and contribute to helping our fellow countrymen during times of need, during real disasters. And all of this is really training for what could the future could hold, that we may not even be able to see at this point how all of this may be used. But there's a general consensus among the members of the operators of Amron that this is all of the, even the real world operations that we're involved in, are really training for something bigger yet to come, that we don't even know what that is, but it's that that gut sense is telling you, you know, there's a lot of turmoil in the world, and there's more to come.
Right.
And these skills and this network and these relationships will be critical for us getting through that in the future.
And a lot of people believe that the government and other organizations are prepared for a true grid down situation where there'll still be communications within America. And I would say that that is incorrect. I would think that the major communications, if there's a grid down within a few weeks, I think your organization, AMRON, will be the base level of communication for all of America. I truly believe that after researching and talking to people.
Well, there's some merit to that. We won't be the only ones. There are some other Patriot radio nets and so on, but we really have taken it on as a mission or even a cause, if you will.
Right.
But you know, as far as trying to gauge how effective the government is going to be, as far as they will maintain their communications. The government doesn't have, the federal government and many of the states don't have a very good track record of being effective during times of disaster. They're usually very cumbersome. They're slow. They're ineffective. And we've seen that time and again now. And that's not meant to bash on anybody. It's just a giant machine with tons of moving parts, lots of money, inadequate accountability. And we've seen this demonstrated where now I would say among the military, you will see excellent communications and command and control if the playing field is leveled. In other words, if, let's say, Russia or China or somebody else doesn't target our satellites, or
right.
if there's not an EMP, or, you know, I mean, but let's say just a social meltdown, global economic crisis, you know, just a without I guess an EMP or satellite targeting type of attack, the military will probably have very effective communications, but it'll be very internal because the military, as much as they try to, they don't have really very good interoperability with the civilian sector as in terms of grid down emergency communications. And so I can see the military being effective, about the only effective entity in our federal government. Now, in case you're not aware of it, there's a major earthquake that on the West Coast, scientists and disaster planners have been training toward and preparing toward. It's the main disaster that a lot of your emergency services kind of orient their scenarios toward, because it's called the Cascadia subduction zone, where mm-hmm. you know, two plates, one's diving under another off the West Coast, and then it produces an earthquake of at least 9.0 about every, I guess, 300 years. And they're saying we're overdue for that. And they're saying that the pressure is building. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And when it goes, all the estimates from the planners are that several hundred thousand people, up to 1 to 1.2 million people will be killed along the West Coast just from the earthquake. And
wow.
then the tsunami, which will follow 20 minutes later, will kill probably another million to a million and a half. And their estimates are that there are places that will be inaccessible for weeks and even months in some of the communities. They've been told, prepare to be on your own for months. It's that massive, and it covers three states, including British Columbia, of Canada. So Oregon, Washington, and Northern California, major population centers up and down that area.
Yes.
So
yep.
they've been planning for this. They're expecting large numbers of casualties and catastrophic damage to the infrastructure. And catastrophic in the academic sense. I mean, in other words, something's damaged beyond the point it is not repairable. It will have to be reconstructed. Bridges and overpasses and roads and there are hundreds and hundreds of bridges that interlink that whole West Coast area.
Right.
All these water inlets and so on. So I took the long way of saying they finally did a massive government-ran training exercise called Cascadia Rising, and that was in 2016. And we tracked that, used that as a signals intelligence or SIGINT exercise, where all we did was monitor. We just monitored the traffic that the military, the MARS, the National Guard, your civilian organizations, your ARES, RACES organizations, we monitored their traffic. And it seemed, of course, any disaster is going to be chaotic. It's chaotic when we do it. As organized as we like to think we are, it's chaotic for us. Disasters, warfare, whatever, they're just chaotic. And they create a lot of really stressful operating conditions. So my hat's off to them for really kind of stretching their capabilities. But in the end, the briefings that came out, I know specifically Washington State, it was probably one of the more organized disaster response organizations, their military department, is their equivalent of FEMA, but at the state level. Their assessment afterward and their after action report was their number one point of failure was communications.
Wow.
Now we're talking about state level agencies with comms rigs that are really in the tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars per rig. They've got everything in there. I mean, everything that a communications, a radio operator could ever dream of and more. And the problem is, first of all, it's a lot of money for a lot of equipment that most everyone does not know how to use. They don't know how to troubleshoot their equipment when they experience failures. Very few qualified and trained people to really make the most use. They might be able to get one or two radios operational, but all of the rest of the stuff is a bunch of dials and buttons and blinking lights. They really don't, they're not trained up to really make full use of these comms rigs, trucks with comms vans. I mean, they're it's amazing what you could do with just one of those rigs. That what we could do as far as in the way of outfitting an AMRON operator or scores of AMRON operators would be it's mind blowing the capabilities that would give us with that kind of money. But and then once again, like I said, there when something fails, they're unable to adequately troubleshoot their own equipment because they're used to in the government when something doesn't work, you fill out a trouble ticket, you turn it into the yep. S4 shop, you just get issued another one. Well, in a grid down emergency disaster communications situation, there isn't backup. There is no shop to turn your equipment into. So what sets us apart is that I believe is that each of the operators, they've invested their own money, their own time, their own resources. They're dedicated to training, not because it's a job, because they work for the state and they just happen to be working in this communications section with this whiz-bang equipment. They look at this as a cause, and they look at their role as a very critical role in being able to respond to a disaster. They're very invested and in their equipment and their training, and they also are intimately familiar with their own equipment. And although it's not standardized, there's multiple different types of brands and models of radios that are used, but the most common ones that are used, you'll see used, across the network.
Right.
You'll find, 50 other operators using the same radio, and they're able to work with each other and learn to become intimately familiar with their equipment. They can troubleshoot their equipment. They can quickly overcome
And they failures. Have backups. I mean, everyone I know that's in Amron has backups as well, sourced for their own power, even protected from, you know, like in a Faraday cage. I mean, they just that's just what they do. That's what you've taught them, and they do that. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So let me.
Or they strive for that.
Right. Yes. So let me step back because I've got to confess some things to you, and I told you this when we met a couple of weeks ago, that 2 years ago, comms was not important to me at all. Zero. Matter of fact, I made some people mad by some of the statements I made about, you know, communications won't keep you alive. You can't eat radio frequencies. I made all these dumb statements a couple years ago because I never really thought through it. Read a few books,
right.
Listened to several of your podcasts, all your podcasts about, and I came up with a new term and I changed my entire mind and I said, you know what? Radio waves, you can't eat them, but information you don't know can kill you. You need to have information
That's right.
to be able to make good, wise, intelligent decisions. And that comes from ham radio, because when the grid goes down or something happens, that's where you get your communications. And bring in some of Forward Observer's teachings when it comes to intelligence gathering. It's kind of the complete package
right.
there. But so I've changed. I'm a new man. I believe communications. and I can prove that, because you know this, that we've done two webinars for the PrepperNet community, and we've had over 370 people sign up for the webinars that, you know, Mercury 001's been teaching. That's just amazing.
Oh,
so
he's awesome.
I'm training them, and then now I'm going to, you know, and we'll get into that a little bit later, but then I'm going to hand them off to you to get them to the level of experience and knowledge they need. A couple more questions back on Amron, though. So you run this. Is this a major corporation sponsorship? I mean, how does Amron survive? How do you do this? I mean, are you full time? Where are you wanting this to go? How can you know, people even join and support you in this effort to really? I mean, it's patriots wanting to save the United States in a sense if something happens. But yeah, go ahead.
Right. Yeah. There's a saying that I've often used, especially with friends of mine who drag their feet as far as getting their communications up. And that is that, if something happens and they're sitting there preaching that there could be some major event and we need to prepare. And I remind them that if I cannot communicate with you, you just become somebody that I used to know. You've got to be able to communicate. We've got to be able to communicate with each other. And for us to be able to get through these things, we have to, you have to make wise decisions, but you can't make wise decisions if you can't make informed decisions. And that's the whole point of communications, is sharing the information. Now, the other thing is, too, is face it. Radio communications and ham radio, it just isn't as sexy as, you know, running and gunning with AR-15s and doing magazine change drills and things like that.
I've been to a ham fest. I've seen the guys. They're older in age and a little nerdy looking.
Yeah.
Come on, let's be real.
Fat old nerds, right.
Yeah.
You're young warriors. We do have young warriors in the ranks, though.
Yes,
But I wanted to say something to that. There is something for everyone. And I've told this story, I don't know how many times when I've spoken, but I'll share it here. I was at an event with several Patriot leaders and preparedness leaders, and we all gave presentations on our area of expertise. And one of the guys said, you know, everybody needs to train with a weapon. You need to be doing drills. You need to be doing squad tactics. Everybody needs to know this basic stuff. Well, afterward, a couple of little old ladies, literally, came up to me and they said, we agree with what he's saying, but we're not young men. We can't be running through the woods with AR-15s. So what are we supposed to do? I said, can you operate a radio? And they both looked at me and said, well, I suppose, yes, we could. I said, well, there you go. We need radio operators. We're going to need nurses. We're going to need drivers. And incidentally, about 6 months later, I was at another event and they were there and they came up to me and said, guess what we did? We went and got our ham licenses. And so now they're getting their palms up, and they said, we never really thought about it. So there is something for everyone. And you know what? There's a lot of fat old men that used to be young warriors, but they've blown out their knees. All the stuff they did when they were young and invincible is caught up with them. And so, you know, they're hobbling around with a cane, but they can operate a doggone radio. So,
okay, let me just tell you.
I
got my general license, by the way. I want you to know I do have my general. And,
good job.
And one of the statements that I make a lot, and I said this in a webinar I just did a few like a week ago, and I've said this before, is that if you don't have ham communications, if a grid down happens, your loved ones that are 200 miles away from you, you will never see or hear from again without ham communications.
Right. Yep, that's right.
I've made people cry from that, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm. You know, and
yeah, how do you support yourself? How does AMRON operate?
Well, it started off out of my own pocket. I was a Department of Defense contractor full time, and then this just kept growing. So I the cost kept growing, the website and things like that. So I produced the signals operating instructions, or the SOI. In the military, we have a CEOI, and then we have an SOI, and an SOI is kind of a stripped down version of, you know, what frequency to turn to, when, you know, who to contact and how. And so I put together this standardized communications plan for AMRON and for all Patriots. You don't have to be an AMRON member by any means. But and I just made that available for a $6 donation. And I've added to it. It's like 52 pages now. I'm in the middle of revising that. I had to push that finished product out to this coming spring. But essentially, that's how I was making money. And of course, you know, it's just a couple $100, $150 a month, you know, and that was covering my basic costs. But due to the previous administration, ran by the president, who will not be named, he started cutting and slicing and dicing the military budget. And of course, DoD contractors are an expendable asset. So my position was cut along with many others, and I found myself kind of at a crossroads. And I made an appeal to the listeners, and I said, this is where I am. I have to make a career change or seek another contract that will not give me the flexibility and the time that I need to continue doing this. So the only way I can continue doing this is if you guys are willing to step up and financially contribute $5, $10 a month, $20 a month, or whatever. And the response was just amazing. Well, of course, it still wasn't enough to make ends meet. But I had several AMRON operators approach me and said, you've got to have a paid membership. We know you're all about the cause. You're not in this for the money. But, man, you've got to – AMRON cannot just fade away. And you have to keep doing Radio Free Redoubt. The things you talk about are just – you know, that important. And
it's that important. Yeah.
So after consulting with several people, we settled on what would be, you know, reasonable. Shouldn't break the bank, but it should be something that where somebody's got some skin in the game. They've invested something. So we decided on $40 a year, and for the paid membership. That's AMRON Core. And in addition to that, we wanted to make some other features available to them. So we have a forum that's AMRON Core, password protected. We operate on the ZNet. It's password protected. So there's other training that we do, and so there's value to it. And what's really come out of that is the relationships and the camaraderie that has come from that, which is really priceless, and some amazing friendships and bonds, and really it's strengthened our network for these guys to be able to really begin coordinating with each other, meeting with each other, doing events together. And so that came from the Amron Core membership, which is our paid membership. And that is when you really begin to learn. You talk about being out there kind of foundering. We're working on some educational products to help the guy that's kind of floating out there and he doesn't know where to start, doesn't know where to begin, he feels overwhelmed, to kind of bring them along. But Amron Core has done that. And there are so many mentors where these guys are regularly in contact with one another daily. And so you get somebody that comes on the ZNet and they say, hey, I just bought this radio and I'm trying to get it set up. And can somebody meet me on the air and do some testing with me? And there'll be several people respond and walking these guys through and troubleshooting their equipment and setting up the software programs. So you're not alone. And
right.
that's the real value of it. But that paid membership has allowed me to do this. And I'll tell you what, I make half of what I did before as a contractor. And it is barely above poverty level.
Yeah, you're doing
but that's
this
okay
as a,
because
yeah. Yeah, you're
to
not
me,
doing
this
to make
cause.
Money. Yeah. Yep.
I believe in this. I believe it's important. I believe it was, you know, what I was called to do. I could be off doing other things, you know, making more money and serving me. But I don't know. I didn't, my conscience couldn't let me do that. It kept me here where I am with Amron and Radio Free Redoubt. And it's the rewards. That's a whole nother tangent I could go on. But the testimonies about how people are being affected and changed. And it's just, the impact that it's had on people just makes you know you're doing the right thing. So
yeah,
that's what keeps me on track.
Yeah, you produced a video called Comms Up, and I remember watching that. That was one of the first steps of me being transferred into this comms geek, because the video is like a real life where this girl kind of is driving, and I mean, it's a must watch for everyone. If you don't think comms are important, and you'll watch this young girl kind of get stranded, and she has this, I guess, a bug out bag or a get home bag, and she opens it up and reads the instructions that her father wrote for her. And I'm like, oh, you know, I have a daughter. I mean, how important is this? Would I want my daughter to have this? And then she reads the instructions, gets in touch with another ham operator that is Amron, and boom, that started my path to recovery right there.
Comms Up and Comms Up 2, both of those kind of, I guess, docudramas really shed light on several different aspects or components of communications and the roles that they could play. And it starts, you know, getting introducing the viewers to digital communications and why and how that can be important, how that might be implemented. And of course, that's just scratching the surface, you know, of, you know, what's beneath the surface is massive. And, you know, you don't have to be, here's the other thing too. I know it's scary and it's technical and there's a lot to that, but you know, not everybody has to be, Navy SEAL level gun runner, right? But everybody should know how to handle to effectively employ a combat rifle. Not everybody needs to go and get their EMT license in your group, but you should have one or two EMT licenses, or doctors, or nurses, but every single person should know how to put on a battle dressing,
right?
And a tourniquet. So not everybody has to be the communications specialist, guru, geek, but you should have one or two in your group that you, even if you got to pitch in to help those guys get get up and running, get the equipment that they need. Your group's going to benefit. And not everybody should be that level of specialty. Find the person that's drawn to that and foster that. But every single person in your group should know how to properly make a radio call, and they should have the means to be able to make at least tactical communications. So,
and if you don't know
what people are waking up to.
Yeah, and if you're not used to doing this, that thing is a brick. That's all it is if you don't know the basic operations of a radio and how to call a repeater and things. There's basic. This is a device that you have to get in your hands and practice and start to understand. And I agree with you 100%. You don't have to get your doctorate degree in ham, but you need to have basic functions, because there's, I don't know, some of the radios you can dial in a million frequencies. So if you don't have knowledge beforehand, you know, just being able to turn on it's literally a brick. And so that's one of the reasons at PrepperNet, man, we're pushing everyone. You got to at least get your – we're saying general, because I studied for my technician. Then later I took the general, and I did the same studying for both. I mean, I did it the simple way. I took an hour a day for 7 days and took the test on the eighth day. That's the way I did it. I just learned the test, which in ham radio is kind of different. You get a license to learn. And then you learn actually. License to practice. And so I would have kind of studied both of them mixed and taken the test once, which is easier said. I mean, it's easier done than you think. I mean, it really is not hard. So it's not hard to get the test. I have a friend, his 76-year-old mother has got her general license, and she's gotten that within the last couple years. So, hey.
Good for her.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it's important to answer the why for that. And again, it's not for everyone. You're talking technician license is going to allow you to operate on VHF and UHF, which is essentially what that means is your close-up communications within your community. And that's what we call tactical communications. And tactical communications – and the other thing, too, I want to tie into this. We have not – it seems like we may have left some of our CH3, non-licensed radio operators, in the dust. But this – two responses to that. First of all, the organization had to evolve. We had to get out of tactical level comms and get into operational and strategic level communications. But all of our operators are encouraged to be the link to our non-licensed radio operators. All of our nets and our net control operators are encouraged to direct the nets to break at some point during their net, usually halfway through the net, to stop and encourage all of the operators to reach out on the unlicensed bands, whichever radio they have, and some of them have them all. Some of them just have a CB, or they just have FRS, but that's okay. To take the time to stop the amateur radio license or the amateur radio net and reach out and say, hey, this is the Amron net, channel 3 on FRS. Is there anybody out there listening? Okay, I don't hear you. So, if you can hear me and I can't hear you, here's the net word of the week, or here's the news. This bridge is out on highway such and such, and you know, they're encouraging everybody to stay indoors or whatever it is. And even if you don't have two-way communications, at least get a scanner and a shortwave radio with single sidebands. You can at least receive information and stay informed. But what's unique about Amron is the link between the unlicensed radio operators and the licensed radio operators. And that really takes care of your tactical communications. And tactical communications are, like I said, that's what most people are concerned with, and that's what your technician license will do a great job and go a long way toward helping you with that. But that's essentially tactical communications, is getting on the radio and saying, hey, there's a truck coming up the road I've never seen before. Heads up, guys. It's just real close within your community, within your neighborhood, or reaching across town, that type of thing. But the Amron, especially Amron core operators, they're also handling operational level comms and strategic level comms. That's, in other words, assisting with command and control with your leadership in your communities. Maybe some of your elected officials, your pastors that are have the right mindset, I guess. They're patriots,
right.
They're preparedness minded.
Yep.
You know, their heads in the game. You've got influential community leaders. All of these guys, they're going to need communication support for operating within their communities and sharing information with other communities outside their area. That's your strategic level communications, your command and control. So not everybody has to be at that level. But you should have one or two people who are within your group on that level. That's your general class licenses. That's going to be your lifeline to a larger nationwide network where information sharing, you guys can call for help. You can reach the network. You can help with the strategic level intelligence and communications and coordinating with others. And you can't do that unless you have a general class license or higher. And of course, we can get into, the end of the world, you won't need a license, so it won't matter. And that's a whole nother argument as well we can get into. But
Have the experience at that time to, unless you do have these licenses, you won't have the experience to pull that off. Hey, do you mind mentioning, I remember on one of your podcasts, you talked about how Amron, and we're going to get in a couple things like this, but you helped with the wildfires, and you guys were a major, or very instrumental in helping some communities during the wildfires.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's what Amron's about. I mean, that's helping saving lives in communities.
Right, right. And there's oh, boy. Well, let's talk about that one. Particularly, I think what you're referring to are the wildfires in Washington State in 2015. Very similar to what California has recently experienced, but a little bit different dynamics politically and socially, you know, on the ground with recent California fires. But in Washington, there were multiple towns that had been evacuated because of the threat of the fires, and some of these towns were actually had multiple fires converging on them. We had an Amron operator. We put the word out. We put an alert out for all of Amron operators in the area who are able to be on the air and to monitor in case anybody's trapped or stranded or, you know, they need help. And then I put an email out to all of our Washington Amron members saying, we are on the air for you. If you find yourself in danger and you're because the word that we were getting was that cell phones are down, landlines are down, the grid's power's down, roads are blocked off by fires, and so on and so forth. We said, if all you've got is ham radio, we want to let you know we're going to be on the air with you. And one of those Amron operators got out of his town, went to another town where he had internet, and he emailed me back and said, our town is evacuated except for about 30 people, and the firefighters and the city administration, the mayor, all these people are staying in the town. So he said, we need help. We have no communications, nothing. We're grid down. We have no water. We have no, nothing. And there's these fires are, expected to cut the road off access in here and we're going to be trapped. So, we mobilized and, met up with him. He introduced us to the mayor and the fire chief. Gladly accepted our offer to help them with communications. We set up a kind of a command, across from their command post, we set up a comm center or a communication center and immediately began receiving news and weather reports, which were critical for us to understand the behavior of the fire because we were blind on the inside of there. We didn't know what was going on outside over the top of the mountains. We had smoke everywhere. And you could see fire on a lot of the mountains, but we essentially had no idea what was happening outside of that little community. And on the other side to that, that town basically vanished as far as the rest of the world's concerned. They had no communications coming from that town. And there were rumors that, oh, this town over here is burnt to the ground and that town there is cut off and all the people are dead. And it got just wild. So we were able to give accurate, timely reports about the real situation on the ground there, The town was not burned to the ground. Nobody's dead. You know, we're fine, and this is what our needs are.
Right.
And so yeah, we're able to work with. And the other thing that we have within AMRON is what's called the Black Echo Rebroadcasting Project. So we have operators all across the country who have AM or FM low power broadcasting transmitters that operate on the broadcast dial. So just like you tune in, because everybody has an AM or an FM radio in their car or at home, right? So
yes,
we're able to transmit on the FM dial, on the broadcasting spectrum there. And so we set that up. We set up Black Echo, Radio Free Readout Black Echo in this town of Konkanoli. And we were able to give live reports. The mayor was able to come across the street and give updates as far as the need to evacuate the last of the people that were still in that town. So, and in between, we played music and songs, you know, and we'd break in with news reports and things like that. And it was a huge psychological comfort and value to the people that were still there. Is pretty highly stressful for them. But so we were able to basically have our own radio station. They were all excited. Konkanoli has its own radio station now. and we've had folks run Black Echo stations during real world emergencies and during practice nets as well.
We did one during bug out weekend we had last year. I think I mentioned to you. We had it. We were playing your podcast, actually. So we have several people. several people in our network that have that. So a couple things, you know, we never really touched paths, but in the hurricane came up, Florence came up, and we were kind of recruited by Forward Observer, meaning the Carolina Prepper Network, which is now PrepperNet, to kind of help him with gathering intel. And so directly and indirectly, we kind of worked together and really making a difference, partnering with the Cajun Navy, which was partnered with with Forward Observer, that was giving intel to the Cajun Navy, and AMRON operators, you know, local, some of them down in that area, and we were all of us were working together and really made a huge difference, I think, and saved some lives during Florence. And that was kind of the first time we've ever worked together, but yet we didn't even know we were working together.
Right. We knew about it once it took place, but it wasn't anything that was planned in advance.
Right.
And it worked really well. And, you know, as far as the Forward Observer goes, that is essentially a Patriot / Prepper intelligence gathering network, much like AMRON is a communications and radio operator network. The Forward Observer is an intelligence gathering, processing, analyzing network. The whole reason why we communicate is to share information so people can be informed and so they can inform others. But you've got the intelligence guys. Without intelligence, we're just radio operators talking about the weather and, hey, how's everything going?
And we were feet on the ground because we had preppers everywhere within our organization down there, living it, going through it, which we would get that information provided to Forward Observer. You guys, some of your AMRON operators, were communicating out, and you know, Forward Observer was dispatching the Cajun Navy. And more recently, I'm not even sure if you know this, but and that's why this is the big surprise. But there was a situation just this past weekend in North Carolina where a chemo nurse, needed to get to work, and we in the PrepperNet community, we knew it was going to be a kind of major big deal for the Carolinas. So we opened up our ZelloNet because my users are not quite all the way to AMRON operators yet, but we're getting there. But so we opened up our emergency ZelloNet, and this call, I'm not sure if you know this, came through our emergency ZelloNet that this lady, chemo nurse, needed to get, you know, to the hospital so she could treat her patients. That actually came through PrepperNet. Then he won't mind, but Mercury01, kind of, which is an Amron Corps member, he's also a member of the PrepperNet, and between the two organizations working together, I mean, we actually made a difference in someone's life.
Well, I was briefed on that, and it was very cool because Mercury01 got a hold of another Amron Corps operator in that area,
right,
who was able to then reach. He was not in a position to be able to provide transport for this nurse. So he was able to get a hold of another licensed ham operator who's not even affiliated with Amron and coordinate transportation to go pick up the nurse and get her to where she needed to go, because there was a pretty critical role that she played. So, it's really exciting to see that working together. Now, we use what we call the ZNet, is actually, you know, Zello. It's the walkie-talkie app that you can download.
Right.
And those are all strictly Amron Corps channels that we operate on. And so one thing I want to encourage the listeners and the members of PrepperNet is a couple things. It's really important. It's exciting that you have all these people on the air, not on the air. You have all these people talking to each other over an app that is internet dependent. So,
right.
What's unique, what's different and unique about Amron is that while we were using the internet where it's up to communicate and coordinate on the ZNet or the Zello app, they were also simultaneously sending status reports to each other over the air on HF radio. So if the grid goes down, they don't skip a beat. They're already operational. They're already on the air, and they're continuing the traffic that they've already been, I guess, simulcasting, duplicating over HF that they've been talking about on the ZNet. So just a word of caution not to let that become a crutch where you think, hey, we got communication, we're good to go. Those folks that are just strictly, they're not up to speed as far as their HF radio wireless communications. If that goes down, they're done. They're shut down. It's like they're on the sidelines.
And that brings us to something. The point of when I think I reached out to you and said, we need help. You have a nationwide network of ham operators. You have a emergency nationwide emergency communication plan. Why can't we partner together? And I have brand new ham operators that need to be educated. They need to learn. They need practice. Why can't PrepperNet and Amron partner together? We'll train them, and you kind of will handle the communication piece for this national network that we're building of preppers, and you be our communication arm. And you said yes, and I'm like, wow. I think it's a great thing because I do have like 400 now technician and general license operators that is waiting on your Amron University.
Oh, don't wait. Do not wait.
We got them plugged in.
Yeah. Right. Now, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I want to add a couple of points of clarification there as well. Okay, so within Amron, there are three different, informal categories of Amron members. There are your unaffiliated Amron members, there's your affiliated Amron members, and then there's your organic Amron operators. Now, folks join Amron and they come from various different walks of life, backgrounds, and with different intentions. And some of them are let's say they're the communications guys for their mutual assistance group in their community. Maybe a network of churches that are working toward preparedness, and they got a couple of their, they've got several comms guys, and they will join AMRON, so they have a lifeline to a larger network and a resource for training. And you have the militia guys. They all handle their own communications. They have their own communications plans, but their top communications guys will join AMRON Corps so that they're tied into a larger network. Now, those guys are affiliated. So, in other words, they join AMRON or join AMRON Corps, but they're actually their first loyalty and dedication is to the organization they're supporting, even though they've joined AMRON Corps. So, and then you've got your unaffiliated. It's just Joe Blow with his family. He understands the importance of comms. He wants to contribute to his community, but he's not part of any group or network or anything. So he joins AMRON Corps. He's unaffiliated with any organization, and he just wants to be the lifeline for his community and tied in with news and information. And then there is the organic AMRON Corps operator. The organic operator, basically, they belong to AMRON. So if there's a disaster and we say time to deploy, they're not going to say, well, I've got this thing over here. I already promised my pastor I'd do, or I promised the militia guys that I can't leave them. They are, their first dedication and loyalty is to AMRON when there's an AMRON need. It overrides other things. So you've got your organic, that's your AMRON. They're committed to AMRON. Then you've got your affiliated, which are say your militia or your church or maybe PrepperNet. Their first dedication is to the organization that they're operating in, working with, and then you're unaffiliated. So just kind of recapping that.
Yes.
So I'm excited about this partnership, but I want to remind them that AMRON is a resource for them to learn what they need to learn to be surrounded by mentors that are helping people every day on the air, get up on the air, and advance in their communications, where we've moved beyond just simple voice communications. We're very, very heavily involved in digital communications using free software that you can operate on your laptop. We're literally, like we did with the wildfires in central Washington, we were able to send welfare traffic over ham radio from a remote location with no power except what we provided ourselves, no cell phone, no landline, no anything. We were completely self-sufficient, self-reliant, and we were able to send emails to loved ones of people that were in that town. We were able to send texts to loved ones' families in other parts of the country to let them know that they're alive. We're able to send text messages and forms that can be printed out for our leadership. For example, we were able to put out a situation report about the situation on the ground as it relates to the fires. And there was a county commissioner on the east side of the state who said that somehow, some way, I have no idea how they got this, but the Washington State Patrol delivered this AMRON SITREP or situation report to this county commissioner's office. And he came in the morning, he sees this SITREP, and he said it was more information about what's really happening on the ground than he's been able to get from the state emergency communications people since the beginning of the fires. And so all that is only possible by the use of digital communications. And, it is a little bit more involved, but when you've got the people that are dedicated comms guys in your group that are learning this stuff, they're your lifeline to the outside. And so I don't want people to feel so intimidated, but they feel like, oh, man, I'll do voice. I'll pick up a mic and I'll say hello to somebody, but I don't know about all the digital computer stuff. That's over my head. It's really not as bad.
For us to get these people trained and with them, a lot of your AMRON people are jumping on board to help us in different cities, even And the goal is to train our people, because that isn't something you just watch a video and learn, but it's something also that is very enjoyable, and you learn over time, and it's a skill you need, because your life can depend on it. So, we're excited with what you guys are bringing to us for sure. And, you know, I'm sure we've got hundreds of core members, future core members, if not thousands, that will, be dedicated to, because, you know, PrepperNet, we're just an organization of meetings. What we do, during the hurricane and what we did during the recent snowstorm is really kind of out of our, we just do it because if our members are in trouble or in need, we want to be there for them, and we know that we've got to get to the we got to get there to the airwaves and off the internet to really be effective in a real world situation. I mean, not that a snowstorm isn't, but still we need to make sure we're completely prepared, not just prepared for, you know, something that we can rely on phone lines for or internet.
Absolutely. And also something that we've done is actually incorporated a lot of our internet-based communications into our overall emergency response, because what we've discovered is that while we used to dismiss any grid up or internet-based type of communications resources, because we don't want it to become a crutch. We're planning on, you know, that when there isn't any of that available, we have to have radio. Well, what we're learning is that in these real world disasters, when it's there, you need to use whatever means necessary, what's available to you to communicate. Right. And we're also finding that the cellular network is extremely robust and resilient. It's almost like self-healing. You get a couple of towers that go down, it reroutes all the traffic through the, you know, between the towers that are up. But there are very real threats. A cyber threat, for example, could take down our telecommunications in an instant. We're not even talking an EMP. The more realistic is the what we're discovering is that there are hostile foreign government entities that could now, they've been probing so long, they've infiltrated so deep that many of the intelligence analysts, experts, they believe that foreign governments now have the capability at will to flip the switch and throw us into the dark in terms of communications, telecommunications.
Wow.
And if that happens, you've got hundreds of or thousands of AMRON operators that are prepared to be completely self-reliant outside of any type of support network. But when it's there, we need to use it because it's extremely effective and it's robust.
Right.
But you got to have a backup plan. And that's your wireless HF communications.
So we are very excited working with AMRON and what you guys, your knowledge and your willingness to help a lot of the PrepperNet newbies, I call them, because we do have a lot of newbies, and you know, everyone's afraid of it until we can get them. I mean, once we get them together in like a room and go, okay, let's do this together, which we did on the last webinar that Mercury 01 did, and he just went through every single question to help them get their license, and now we're hearing reports all the time. Hey, I took it. I passed the test. And so now we're going to have to take that to the next level. So we are looking forward to AMRON University. And we know, because I'm not sure we have enough internal people to train these people. That's why we're going to need AMRON's help for sure. But so we're excited.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited. I enjoyed meeting with you the weekend of Thanksgiving over the longest coffee meeting I've ever had in my life.
It was great though.
Yeah.
You're right. And when we say, Let me also clear that up too. I'm looking very much forward to doing Ameron University. We're hoping to break the first modules out in January of 2019, but due to some personal family issues that I'm dealing with right now, it's really on my shoulders. I'm spearheading that project. I really have to, although there's others that will be coming alongside to help me with that. I've got to be on the lead on that. So we've had to push that back to this spring. So what I mean is, though people need the help, we know that they need the training, and that's what this is going to be designed to do. However, until then, if you go to Ameron.com, there are under resources, there's a just getting started. You click on the getting started tab, and there's things to help you get started. If you're brand new, you're not even sure where to begin. There are tons of resources right there. Even if you don't join Ameron Core and get tied in to the forums, but that, I'll tell you what, there is more. I can't even take credit for the forum, because there are so many people in this network that are so brilliant and have such a wide array of backgrounds and specialties, sharing knowledge and information. They're testing different equipment and gear, and that alone is worth the membership fee. There's just so much, and there's people that are willing to answer questions right there and help.
Oh, yeah.
But even if you join Ameron Core and you just went to Ameron and just typed, you know, getting started, or just typed in digital communications, just type in the word digital, and there's tons of information there about how you can download the free software, quickly get it set up to be able to begin receiving communications and start learning. Start putting one foot in front of the other, and then we'll try to get caught up with you here with getting Ameron University out this spring, along with the new SOI, and that's the signals operating instructions, and those resources will be there. But there's so many every time I give a presentation, also, I always remind them, YouTube is your friend. There's nothing on the internet, nothing on YouTube you can't learn. I don't care if you need to, replace a starter in your truck, or if you need to learn how to program your radio. There's something there for you to. You've got to be self-motivated. You got to be a self-starter. You've got to. This information, it is right at your fingertips. College level, semester, in-depth level knowledge on this stuff. If you just YouTube is just one example, but that is a great example. There's so many resources there. How to build an antenna? What's the right antenna for your radio?
You need to be self-sufficient on this. The resources out there. Sometimes you just got to go out there and get it yourself instead of someone feeding it to you, and just, you know what I mean? So just go out there and get it.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
One last little topic I want to talk about is, because I listen to your podcast all the time. I listen to your Radio Free Redoubt one just about weekly. And you always bring up this thing called faith. And everyone, the PrepperNet members and Prepping Academy, they know kind of where I stand. But I just want to, you always bring up faith and what you're doing and why you're doing it. And I would love for you to kind of share that with our listeners, and kind of your drive and your goal and your purpose and the kind of the real reason because I hear your heart, and I've looked at you in the eyes when you've talked about this, and it I think it really will. Our listeners need to hear that.
Yeah. Well. First, I am unabashedly, I am a Christian. I am a follower of Christ the King. He's not a wimpy little sandal wearing hippie. He is he's a warrior. He is the King, and I I'm sold out. I'm sold out to Jesus. And when I first started Radio Free Redoubt, I really avoided I avoided talking about it because I thought, you know, we could talk about these issues from a conservative patriot perspective without bringing religion into it. Because first of all, I am not a preacher. I don't want to be a preacher. I have a very powerful testimony that the things that God's done in my life and the things that has impacted me and others is just indisputable. The role that he's had in providence and protection over me. And so when I'm just talking about preparedness, well, you don't have to bring religion into it. When you talk about the political stuff going on in our country, you don't have to bring religion into it. But it got to a point where it became very evident to me that is the divider right there. Mm-hmm. And not religion, but specifically Christ and Christianity, especially as we see the hostility toward Christianity today. Everything else is tolerable, but the one thing that is not tolerable is Christian principles, Christian beliefs. I believe that our country was founded on brilliant men who were mostly all Christians. And I think that if we have any hope of restoring something that the founding fathers envisioned for this country to be, I think the formula, the magic ingredient, the special ingredient was our Christian faith. That is the one thing that has made our country exceptional. There's no question that the United States of America is exceptional. So what makes it exceptional?
Right.
Is it because we got awesome mountains? Well, there's awesome mountains in the Urals. You know, there's awesome
right.
mountains in Afghanistan. What makes us so awesome? What's that thing that sets us apart? When it comes right down to it, I am convinced that it is our Christian faith that mm-hmm. is what makes America exceptional. And from the very founding of it, there's no other country that was founded on it that has prospered like the United States. What's
right.
interesting, too, if you look at Europe is falling. Europe is crumbling. They've embraced their invaders. Islam is making the next round, 3.0 invasion of Europe. And there are places where Europeans cannot go. They're not even allowed to go. And there's a couple of exceptions to that. One in particular stands out, and that's the nation of Hungary. In 2012, Hungary ratified their new constitution, openly declaring themselves as a Christian nation. They're
wow.
also the nation that is in the crosshairs of the European Union, chastising Hungary for not embracing this Muslim migration movement. And they're saying, no, we're sealing our borders. We're not going to allow it because it will threaten our nation. And so they take a lot of heat for that. But they're also one of the very few countries in Europe, in the European Union, that are not experiencing terrorist attacks. They're also prospering in many different areas. They are exceptional. They stand out from the rest of the European Union. The United States stands out from the rest of the world. And even the Chinese, I have this report. I don't have it in front of me because I wasn't expecting to talk about this. They did a
sorry
study
about
on
that.
The United States. What's that?
I said, sorry about that.
No. Oh, so the communist Chinese did this academic study to determine what is it. Is it our military strength? Is it our economic model? Is it? And they said, no, the economic model that the United States has is actually in several other countries. The natural resources that we have, there's other countries that are just as rich, if not richer, in many respects. Our food production, our everything. They looked at everything and they finally boiled it down. This is communist, atheist, communist Chinese. Their final determination, it was the Christian foundation and the essentially the Christian nation, the Christian faith that made the United States exceptional. And it just kind of strikes me as peculiar that the further we depart from that heritage, the more trouble that we see. And we just, you know, had the other shooting a couple weeks ago at this nightclub in California, and one of the legislators, a Democrat legislator in California, was saying we need to come together to find a solution to end this violence. And what's interesting is that these people do not want, they want any solution that doesn't involve Christianity. They're looking for any new laws they can pass. They're trying to find this they're trying to figure out this this perplexing, vexing dichotomy they've found themselves in. And the violence that we're seeing in our country, and these senseless types of killings, has nothing to do with the availability of guns, and it has nothing to do with mental illness. It's spiritual illness. And I'm convinced that if we did exactly what the Bible says, if we humbled ourselves, if we cried out to God, if we repented, He would heal our nation. He tells us He would do that. But that's the one solution that they don't want to hear. And
right.
I believe that if we did that, our nation would be healed. But I'm also preparing, I guess, from a prepper perspective, I'm preparing for the consequences of our nation continuing down this path of essentially declaring war on God, and what that's meant historically, biblically, for God's people when they rebelled against Him and refused to turn back from those ways, it led to their destruction. And I don't think that it's separable. I don't think, in my mind, to address the issues that we face in this nation and the potential future that we face, including and especially the solutions to those problems, I think that our Christian faith is inseparable from the political and social situation that we're in. So I'm very passionate about that, and I've become more and more convinced. I'm passionate about that as a it was an evolution, if you will, in my mind as far as trying to talk about these issues, conservative issues and political and economic preparedness issues, without bringing up God and bringing up the Bible and turning, you know, every topic into a sermon, which I don't do, but it does come out often. Regularly,
right? Yeah,
because,
and I appreciate
they
that.
Are
I think people really see your heart, and then they, you know, they like following, and when they know, they see someone's motives and they see their heart, and I think that's why your core is so dedicated to your plan and to you and your organization, which it speaks volumes. From what I've seen.
Well, thank you. And it's true. It's because of that, I guess, that leadership message, that vision that I've cast out there. Amron is mostly all Christian. It varies different degrees and levels. And yes, there's Protestants and there's Catholics and so on. And there's people that, well, they're Christians because they go to church every Easter, right? So,
right.
but by and large. But I had a guy that emailed me, I don't know, like 18 months ago. He says, "Hey, I just joined Amron Corps, but I got to let you know I'm an atheist." And he says, "So I want to know what your response is." I said, "Well, can you operate a radio?" And he says, "Yeah." I said, "Well, there you go."
So, there you go.
I hate the word inclusive. We're not letting you in because we're inclusive. You have to be a radio operator. You have to be a communicator. If you're not a communicator, you don't belong in Amron.
Yes.
You know, and besides that, hey, if the atheist wants to join Ameron and help us pass critical communications and intelligence, then great. And hopefully, the faith of the other Ameron members will rub off on him, and I'd be just thrilled to see somebody come to Christ because of that. And actually, that has happened. I've done some incredible testimonies like that. And it has nothing to do with forcing our views or forcing our faith on anyone else. It's just let us practice our faith. We're not going to force it on you, but don't hinder us from practicing ours. It's a natural right that's actually
right.
protected by the Constitution. But
that's correct.
So anyway, there's no beef if
that
you're
was
not
awesome.
A Christian.
Okay.
Big deal. Can you operate a radio? That's what I want to know.
Yep, that's awesome. Hey, I appreciate you coming on the show. Can you kind of tell us how people can join Ameron or get more information and tell them about your podcast? You have two podcasts, I believe. Tell them how to listen to that.
Well,
and they need to subscribe, too, because they need to listen to that every single week. Go ahead.
Yeah, I did. Well, there used to be two podcasts. I have two shows that are Radio Free Redoubt. It's on the radio in the Spokane, Washington, North Idaho, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho area, on the AM and the FM dial, and that's on Saturdays. It's basically a 30-minute show at 9 a.m. to 9:30 every Saturday on Liberty Broadcasting, which is the American Christian Network affiliate radio station. And then on Sunday evenings at 8 p.m. Pacific, I do the weekly, that's usually about an hour to an hour and 20 minute podcast at radiofreeredoubt.com, and that's live streaming. And then probably 90% of our listeners listen to the podcast version of it that after it's uploaded, say Monday morning for their commute, they'll download the podcast
yep.
from Saturday and Sunday, and they'll listen to that throughout the week. But there was another podcast that I was doing. I hope to revive it this year, but I have so much to deal with right now. It's not the top priority for me, but that was called Partisan Radio. And I think there's 30, 40 episodes of that? Quite a few. That's oriented specifically toward emergency communications and privacy, security, encryption, anonymity, and that kind of thing. That kind of your tradecraft type of partisan
right.
side of Partisan Radio. And then also the radio operations. But all those podcasts are still there. You can go and listen to them. I strongly encourage you to listen to those. And that's a project that I hope to revive later on this year after I get some of these other fires put out. But you can learn more by going to amron.com, and A-M-R-R-O-N, or phonetically, Alpha, Mike, Romeo, Romeo, Oscar, November. That's amron.com. And just explore. Just click on some of those tabs and just kind of dive into the rabbit hole, read some of those postings, and then as things you find yourself gravitating towards something that's of interest to you, you can read more about that. There's a lot of information there. Now, how to join, there is a tab called Join that will take you to our Join tab, and there is a free Ameron membership, and then there is a paid Ameron Core membership. Now, there's something else, too, that I'm discussing with the advisory committee and eliminating, and that was where you can sign up as a redoubter. In other words, you're not a radio operator, but you just want to be on the list so people know that you're in a certain community or area. But really, that's not serving any useful purpose as far as in terms of expanding the radio communications network. So we may be phasing that out. So I'm pretty certain that's going to be phased out. So if you join Ameron, you're expected to be a radio operator at some level, even if it's just with a FRS handheld radio and a scanner sitting on your desk, something. But you need to be. We expect that you will contribute to the network. And these recent disasters really revealed to us, as much as we've grown, as many as we have out there, we still have some major gaping holes in our coverage for communications. So we really want to encourage people to get others in your community up and running, to join a start a local Amron net that you guys can do on your own. We'll give you the tools to do that. We've got net scripts, all the information to help somebody that wants to be a net control station operator, where you run your own net, and we give you everything you need to get up and running to be able to do that. So
hey, and in Charlotte, we're getting ready to start one. I don't know his Amron call sign, so I won't say his name. But he's been doing Simplex here in Charlotte, and he's getting ready to go to a repeater. And so we're looking forward to that, because I'm starting to get the word out, you know, that my members, now that they've taken the test, now they got to join Amron. Now they got to start participating in Amron nets and learn what, you know, a one-time pad is, all this top secret code that we talk about. You know, and I already know I got like 6 or 7 Black Echo people here in town and in the area. Actually, probably I know of like 15 people, because I reached out and asked them, about 15 people I know of kind of bought the and got the rig set up that you suggested on your site. And that's kind of what I know, you know, a lot of people have around here. So, but anyway, hey, we got to let you go. I know I've keeping you way too long, and man, I appreciate you being on the show and look forward to working with you and handing you off a bunch of new hams that can learn and grow with your organization as well. And still, you know, that's kind of cool, because a PrepperNet person can be an Amron core member and still be dedicated to your cause, but still they're still a prepper. And so that's kind of
They're dedicated to their family, to their local preparedness network in their own community. Yep. But they're building a lifeline to the outside, to a larger network of people that are like-minded. They're sharing information with each other and all have the same vision and the same concerns as well. And thank you for everything that you're doing with PrepperNet. It is just exploding. It's exciting to see folks that are really waking up, that are getting the tools, all the other resources you've got coming on there, Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy and Sam Culper and all these others that are just this whole network of information sharing and getting folks more self-reliant and prepared, you know, to get through these challenging times that we have coming ahead and so they can contribute. I'll just end with this, I guess, and that is that not to look at prepping as preparing for this major disaster, and then your brain stops there.
Right.
We're planning to get through a major catastrophic event so that we can contribute to the rebuilding on the other side of that, because there will be a tomorrow. And we want to be, you know, be able to contribute. So, this is not anti-government at all. We've come alongside governments, local municipal governments. We believe in government. It's biblical. God has a biblical outline for how government should be responsible. They should uphold and defend the righteous. They're supposed to persecute the wicked. And we want that. We want judges who judge in the fear of the Lord and righteously, and not accept, bribes. I mean, these are all biblical principles. We're pro-government. We're pro-government that is not corrupt, and a government that's responsible and that upholds and adheres to the rule of law and the law of the land, the Constitution. I don't think that's too much to ask.
Nope,
so,
but I agree.
We will not. Ever participate or support or aid any government that is going to act unlawfully. Like, for example, they need communications resources to help coordinate the rounding up of citizens or their firearms and so on. That's not going to happen.
Right. Absolutely. Well, JJS, John Jacob Schmidt from Amron, we thank you so much for being on. Thank you for going extended time with me. And thank you for your friendship and the partnership that we're going to be moving forward with. And thank you for being my expert counsel for PrepperNet. and some exciting news. I'll just kind of share. I'm getting ready to send a letter out to all my expert panel members. In like the last 10 days, we've had over 1,000 people join, which is crazy.
Wow.
So we're expanding big time. That is crazy. 1,000 people have joined, and there's different reasons for that. But, hey, I appreciate your time, and God bless you, and we will talk to you soon.
You as well. All right, keep up the great work, and God bless you, and Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas to you as well. Take care.
Okay, bye now.
Hey, guys, that was John Jacob Schmidt from Amron. Oh, what a pleasure it is to have such a godly man, a man with a vision that is implementing his vision throughout the United States to make sure that we can have a way to communicate, to share information. And I encourage you to get your ham license, join PrepperNet, join Amron. You know, one of the statements I make all the time, and I said this up at a conference up in Waynesville, North Carolina, and didn't mean to upset people, but if a major grid, you know, down happens, you will not talk to your family members outside of 200 miles ever again. You just won't. It's just not going to happen. If it's a major, more than a month or two, it's going to get so chaotic. You need to have a communication plan. And that is, you just don't pick up one of these ham radios and learn how to do it. It's not a walkie-talkie. They can be used that for local, but it's you got to have the knowledge, the practice. And Amron is in the game of, not in the game, in the business of teaching people, getting them prepared for real-world communications, and that's why at PrepperNet, we're encouraging all our members to join, become a core member, learn the techniques. It's just one part of your preparedness. Food, water, fire, shelter, and you got to have, you know, first aid, medical, you got to have ham, you just got to have communications, and this is a great organization. You guys need to support them. So, guys, I appreciate it. Go to PrepperNet.com for the website. Join. We have a premium and basic membership. You support us by becoming a premium member. If you can't afford it, we have a basic that has a lot of great features for you as well. And you're listening to the Prepping Academy radio show, and I, Forrest Tenderfoot will be back with us hopefully next week. Think he had some church events tonight, but appreciate it. That's at preppingacademy.com. Go and join our mailing list and we'll let you know who's coming up next. You guys take care and God bless, and we'll talk to you next time in a week. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Prepping Academy podcast. Preppers unite at www.preppingacademy.com.